I'm presenting on behalf of my honours student who prepared this this talk, Brendan Kelly. He unfortunately couldn't be here today. Just before I get into this, Laurie, if you ever moved to Australia, which is where I'm from, you wouldn't have a job. We don't have lawns. I don't know if you know, but we're currently on stage 4 water restrictions, which means no watering. That's no watering at all. We put buckets in our showers and we bucket water out onto our plants. And you drive around cities in Sydney and Melbourne, and all the lawns are brown. They're dying. Anyway, I'd like to talk to you about a project we've undertaken looking at how farmers in Australia use soil indicators for their farm management. This was an honours project by Brendan, supervised by myself and Catherine Allen. I guess you'd call myself a physical soil scientist. Catherine is a social scientist. So the two of us got together to work out this this project. The aim of the project really stemmed out of discussions with farmers, and we felt that we wanted to investigate a greater understanding of how farmers are making decisions in regards to their soils. We felt that there was a missing piece of information in the many soil programs that are underway in Australia, as they are here, I assume, in soil health or soil quality. We decided to begin by looking at indicators. We could have started anywhere, really, but we decided to ask farmers what they thought about indicators and soil indicators, just to get the ball rolling. And we defined indicators for them so that we were all on the same page to begin with. The main research questions that we wanted to know was what soil indicators do farmers use, what influences their choice of indicator, and then, probably because we are researchers, we wanted to know if farmers wanted or needed more research and information on soil. We had a perception that there was a barrier between farmers and soil scientists, and traditionally that's filled by extension agents, of course. And I must say, in Australia, we don't have the same level of extension programs as such as you do in the US. So we wanted to know if the extension programs that we were running in Australia, were they actually working, and did farmers get the information that they required? The research program was a qualitative research program, which was new for me as a physical soil scientist. It was one of the most difficult things that I was struggling with, to move away from numbers and figures and tables to a more inductive, interpretive approach. Brendan, conducted in-depth, semi-structured interviews with farmers, which ranged from 45 minutes up to 4 hours, usually in the kitchens of the homesteads. And he just talked. He had some questions that he would begin the conversation with, but then really it was up to the farmer to go anywhere where they wanted to. All of those interviews were transcribed, and some qualitative statistical analysis was performed on all those transcripts using a system called NVivo, I think, which allowed for thematic content analysis. So he was able to just draw out from all the conversations different themes in a qualitative sense to put them all together to produce the results that we're presenting. This is our study site. This is obviously a map of Australia. This is where my university is, Charles Sturt University. It's in Albury, so that's where we're based. And we undertook the survey of the farmers in a region just, this is the Murray River, Australia's largest river, which is, compared to the river here, is a bit of a joke. But nonetheless, that's where 80% of our irrigation water comes from, although not this year. There's 0 to maybe 5% allocation. But nonetheless, the farmers we were looking at were mostly dryland farmers, and they ranged from croppers to some mixed farming, mainly sheep. So the first question we asked them was, what soil indicators do you use? And it turns out that there was a fairly limited number of soil indicators that they wanted. What surprised us initially was that they didn't actually look at the soil when they wanted to find out what was going on in their fields. They used indicators such as weed species or the health or quality of their pastures or crops. And once they'd perceived a problem, they would then usually act on those problems by confirming with soil testing. Despite the wide range of soil tests that are available, most of the farmers in their conversations referred only to phosphorus, pH and aluminium. Despite what came back from the soil testing laboratories with the recommendations for fixing whatever problem that they wanted, if a farmer wanted to renovate a particular field, they tended to just go back to their usual recipe that they had always used. They didn't ignore the soil tests that came back, but they didn't always apply the recommendations that came back, which I thought was quite interesting, given that they spend the money on soil testing. The soil test labs don't do it for free. You have to pay. And there was some animosity from some of the farmers about soil testing. So one of the quotes is, paddocks that would test well or very well on soil tests from laboratories seem to be, and one paddock I have in mind particularly always was, our poorest performing paddock. So he was getting results back from the lab that wasn't confirming what was actually happening in the field. Just an example. What was evident was that farmers were struggling to interpret the soil test results as they came back, and although there was lots of information with those reports, they would then more often than not go and consult a regional agronomist. And some of the reasons, or some of the quotes, you know, my time is so limited and finding out information, I would much rather pay a person to come and tell me what I should be thinking about, which is interesting. Then on the other hand, one farmer said there are some farmers in this area that wouldn't know what boot to put on unless the agronomist told them. So again, there's, not surprisingly, this from a range of different people, you're going to have a range of different opinions. So we decided to go down the track of exploring why farmers were using agronomists. If they weren't really using many indicators, apart from the occasional soil test, then we thought, well maybe the agronomist is sort of the indicator. And this was where the discussion seemed to be going. So Brendan asked them, well, you know, why is there this increased use of agronomists? And essentially what they were saying was information overload. They can't synthesise all the information that's out there. Their farms are getting bigger. There's less time. There's increased bureaucracy. Farmers are having to conduct wage audits. In Australia, there's a tax system where each individual who runs a business is essentially works for the tax office. They have to do all this reporting, and it just reduces time. So they're feeling as though they need help from outside. And some of the other things that I'm not presenting here is that farmers were beginning to get this disconnection almost with their land. There was these aren't the biggest farms in the country, and they are traditionally family farms, but there's a feeling that's beginning to break down, and they don't have time to be the farmer that perhaps their parents were, but they're now really just facing the harsh economics of it and really have to get the information from other sources. And so we then kept going down this path. Well, if they're talking about agronomists, which is one source of information, where else do they get sources of information? Do they get indicators or assistance in other areas? And not surprisingly, one of the more common areas that people were getting information sources was through the use of the internet. And the way they would do it wouldn't be to just swallow the information there and then. They would see if it was relevant to their fields, to their systems, And if they were, they would then use that to delve more deeply and almost sometimes contact the authors or the institutions that perhaps published the material. And that was interesting. That's a development that I think is beginning in Australian farming systems. I mean, internet's been around for a long time and people have been getting information, but the interesting thing that came out of this research was that people, the farmers, are using this information and then going more deeply to get more information that's actually relevant for their situations, because they like it from the horse's mouth. We then asked them, well, what aren't you getting? What's all this information that's out there, what's not happening? And they said there are huge numbers of areas that we're not getting information through the traditional systems, either through agronomists or workshops or field days organised by our government agencies. They felt that soil was being neglected in the traditional information services that were provided. So there was enough information on farm management, but soil itself, which from a soil scientist's perspective was a little disturbing, was being neglected. And in particular, soil biology was being neglected. There's this growth, as I'm sure it is here too, that soil biology seems to be the answer for many things, and the farmers hear that and they go, well, we'd like to know more about that, but it wasn't forthcoming for this particular group of farmers. So to conclude, some of the other things we found amongst our group was that there was a growing scepticism of conventional farming. That's just the group that we had. They often felt that they were locked into traditional approaches economically, and given the state of the climate situation at the moment, that's not surprising. What was really interesting was there was a greater openness to change, more evident in the older farmers, the older demographics, rather than the younger ones. I would have thought, oh, it's the younger ones that are coming through, they've just graduated from ag school and they've got all these great ideas. Well, no, it was the opposite. They were graduating and had to produce in the first 5 years, or first year really, once they'd got out of their college, and so they did the traditional approach. It was the older ones who had been farming for 30, 40 and sometimes 50 years who were coming to the realisation that maybe there's some other way to do it. So that was interesting. There was a real desire for more science in the information that they were seeking. They felt that agronomists weren't presenting perhaps that scientific information. They felt that there was some advocacy sometimes. Some of the agronomists worked for fertiliser companies. So most soil management actions, the indicators were determined by potential crop yield or pasture quality, so they weren't looking at the soils at all. Farmers were favouring soil testing over visual observation of the soil, but then in most cases relied on the visual observation to prompt the need for soil testing. There was a limited trust in their own observations, a growing reliance upon agronomists, and that's what I said before, it may suggest a loss of connectivity with the land. But clearly what we were finding was farmers were really wanting more information on soil, which from a soil science perspective is good. We just now have to work out a way to deliver that information, obviously better than we had before. And that's what most of the countryside looks like at the moment. Okay, thank you.
I think we have time for a question for Ben. Anybody have a question?
The question was, do we have a system where we engage extensions with the soil science community? And I would have to say no, on a national or even a regional context. One of the other research programs we're doing is exactly that. It's called Meeting in the Middle. And in our region, we're meeting extension officers, agronomists and farmers, and we're bringing soil scientists together. So we as our little group, is going down that track to see if that works better. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ben, thank you.